Popping part two, people. We were just sharing a lovely picture of Magic Johnson's son, EJ Johnson, who is strolling the streets of Beverly Hills in a skirt, it's a see-through blouse. It's a top. It's not a shirt. It's a blouse or a top with vertical stripes. It's sheer. Half of it's sheer. It's got tall boots and a red purse. A big purse.
That top, just so you know, I didn't include it in the story when I printed it off. It's actually kind of, what you would call it, a onesie. I mean, without legs.
Is that right?
Because they had it on the site where you could actually buy it, too, if you wanted.
Oh, it's underneath your buttons?
Yeah.
How delightful.
Yeah, it goes all the way around. You want to take a shot at how much it cost?
Oh, wow. That's kind of an interesting, let's see.
Again, it's a onesie. It's going all the way around.
$200?
Way higher.
$3,000.
A little lower.
$1,000?
$2,000.
They listed it for like $2,350.
This kid is like 24 years old, has no job I know of.
Wears onesies.
What does EJ Johnson do? I mean, I have no idea what... Well, I mean, it's Magic's kid, so obviously he probably has access to some of Magic's many, many millions, but $2,300 blouse?
Blouse, yes.
Okay, I'm so happy for you, EJ. You look like $1,000,000. Whatever you're trying to look at, you've achieved it. Got a shaved head, though.
You don't think that handbag clashes with his attire?
Yeah, I kind of do think the handbag's off. Because the blouse is black, at least the non-sheer part's black. The skirt is black. The boots are black. And this, black and red. I don't know. I don't think it works. I don't like the purse. It's too big, too. It's too much.
It's just too much. It is more subtle red, perhaps, but.
Well, doing a 180 here with, Baldwin's first name? Chris Baldwin. Chris Baldwin. What's the pose again? The Surrender Cobra pose?
Surrender Cobra, yeah.
At the end of the Michigan State, Michigan game. After that heartbreaking defeat. And actually was getting a lot of pub the week of the Michigan game. We just couldn't get a hold of him. So better late than never, I guess. Champions of the West. 9-0. Number 2 in one poll, number 3 in the coaches, I believe. As they beat Maryland 59-3.
Hello.
Hey, Chris.
Hi.
Hey, it's the Drew and Mike podcast. How you doing, buddy?
Good. How are you?
Great, man. You enjoying this football season?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Now, do you go to every game?
Yep, yeah, every home game. Wouldn't miss them.
Wait, now you're with all your engineering studies, you can still manage to see every football game?
yeah, I'm willing to make exceptions, for football. It's probably my biggest passion, so
yeah.
I can put the studies aside for a few hours.
Of course you can. And how long have you been a Michigan football fan?
Pretty much my whole life, I mean, as long as I can remember, really.
Where'd you grow up?
From Saginaw, Michigan.
Saginaw, okay. And of course, the Detroit News did a great story on you last week, and that's where I saw your picture. But I remembered it so well. I mean, as soon as I saw your picture, it's like, that's the guy. Yeah, right after that. As soon as that play happened, man, there it was. Did you have any idea the camera was on you at that time?
Yeah, definitely no idea at all. I mean, that was all natural reaction. I was not trying to do any... acting. I didn't really know about it at all until maybe 20 minutes, half hour after the game when I finally checked my phone and saw that I had a bunch of pictures of myself on the TV.
People sent you screenshots, huh?
Right, all over friends and family, people I probably hadn't talked to in like a couple of years. Didn't matter. Everybody had to send me something.
How many text messages do you think you had when you first checked your phone 20 minutes later?
Dozens and dozens. I couldn't even count. I mean, I don't even know. I probably didn't even read some of them until the next day, just because there were so many to look at. And then responding. And my parents, of course, were asking all sorts of questions and that sort of thing. So I mean, they're probably 40, 50 at least.
Wow. So now, did that ruin your Saturday night, or were you able to put it behind yourself and go out and have a couple beers?
Yeah, we were hanging our heads pretty low, so we just kind of sat around, and we were up all night the night before because we camped out for college game day.
Oh, okay.
So, I mean, we were all pretty exhausted at that point. So, and then of course that the whole ending doesn't help, you know, with any, you know, tiredness.
Yeah, it's not a party starter. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So we just kind of hung out and, you know, watched Sports Center anchors talk about me and talk about the game.
That's got to be pretty wild. Turning, I mean, when you're just going to a football game, you don't expect to be discussed that much on television. But hell, I'd be watching too.
Right. Right. Yeah. Definitely. Yeah. Did not see that coming, to say the very least.
So now, I'm sure you watched the game. But did you go to the game this year in East Lansing?
Yeah, I went with a few friends over to East Lansing. It was a fun time.
All right. And did a lot of people recognize you at the game?
Oh, yeah. It was pretty crazy. Pretty much the whole time. We went on Friday night to hang out with some friends that go to state. Even just being out, you know, around East Lansing on Friday night, I got recognized plenty. And then at the game, it was... pretty much, it felt like every person in the entire stadium had to have come up to me and said something. I mean, we actually, you know, we were going just up the aisle trying to get to our seats, you know, like right at the beginning of the game or just before it started. I mean, we literally could not walk up the steps. There were so many people that were flooding out of their seats. I mean, the game had already even started before we got to our seats, and eventually I just kind of, I lowered my shoulder and pushed my way through the crowd because otherwise we were going to be missing the whole game, taking pictures and whatever.
God, that's amazing, you know, because now you're a recognizable guy. You certainly look unique enough. But were you wearing your yellow sweatshirt at the state game when all these people were recognizing you?
Yeah, I was wearing a yellow. It's not the exact same one.
Maze.
But, yeah, I was wearing a maize sweatshirt. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that makes it a little easier. So how do you, if you don't feel like dealing with it, do you put on a blue sweatshirt or something else? Maybe take the glasses off?
I guess I haven't really tried going undercover at all. I mean,
you're digging
it. I'm still going to wear maize to the games and that sort of thing because that's what we do as students. So, you know, I'm not going to get rid of that tradition. Then otherwise going around town, you know, I don't worry too much about it.
Well, you know, usually people try to say that getting attention is, oh, it's such a pain in the ass. You seem like you're enjoying it though. Like it's fun.
Yeah. I mean, it gets annoying every now and then. I mean, you know, like some, I mean, at the game, for example, you just want to get to your seats or, you know, sometimes if, you know, I'm out to eat somewhere, you just kind of want to sit and enjoy your meal. But
yeah.
Overall, I mean, yeah, I mean, you just try to have fun with it and talk to them. I mean, I've met so many different people. I had so many different experiences because of it. So, I mean,
it's
just
amazing.
Trying to take it in stride and have fun with it.
Yeah, no, that's cool. Now, this is I think, would be the ultimate advantage. Does it help you meet women?
yeah, it definitely did for a while there. Talk to plenty more girls than I probably would normally.
Sweet.
But I do have a girlfriend now. I did not really meet her because of the fame, though, so I guess it didn't ultimately work out. But, yeah, some more fun experiences along the way because of that.
Oh, cool. Well, that's nice. I mean, it's certainly a fringe benefit. And I've known a lot of engineers in my life. They're not always the smoothest guys with women. So, I mean, anything to help break the ice, you know?
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's actually – I remember I talked to a guy like when I was down in Atlanta, and he kind of had the exact same comment that, you know, yeah, it opened the door. I mean, necessarily I wasn't going to be able to steal the deal, but yeah, at least, yeah, like to break the ice a little bit.
Very nice. So when you travel, you were in Atlanta, and people recognize you when you're traveling too?
Yeah, I mean, even I went like on a family vacation, you know, just like early in the summer, you know, as the semester ended. We went to North Carolina, kind of in the middle of nowhere, really, near Appalachian State, actually, funny enough. and even there, I mean, I would still wear, like, some Michigan gear. I mean, not wearing, like, the sweatshirt or anything, but, you know, I might have a T-shirt on. And, yeah, people still, even there, occasionally were pointing me out. So I guess it's somewhat nationwide.
Wow, man. You know, how long can this go on? I mean, it's been a year, which is not that long a time, but I guess, you know, your looks are going to change a little bit, and maybe even your style, but it seems like at least for a couple of years here, you got some pretty good activity going.
Yeah, I mean, I assume most of like the, you know, the media attention and that sort of thing will pretty much be over. I figured, you know, once we get past, you know, the next year's game, so we're to that point now.
But then there's always the 10-year anniversary.
Yeah, right. That's a good point. You know, it won't ever fully go away. I mean, even still, just like out and about, you know, like tailgating before the Maryland game the other day. I still took some pictures and that sort of thing. So that'll definitely be continuing intermittently, you know, for the next few years at least.
Well, if this had happened before, you know, iPhones and all the cameras on phones, you probably would not be nearly as big a deal. But I'm afraid with the cameras on phones, you're in for some action for a good while here. But listen, man, it's great talking to you. I'm glad you're having fun with it.
Yeah. Thanks for having me on. It's good to talk to you guys.
Sure. And how far do you think Michigan's going to go this year? Honestly, you think they can win it all?
I like their chances as good as anyone. I mean, they continue to play well. You know, in my lifetime, I don't really remember a Michigan team that, you know, could dominate pretty much everybody game in and game out. So, I mean, who knows? You know, Ohio State's going to be a great game, and the Big Ten championship will be interesting. And who knows, if we make the playoffs, that'll be, you know, a wild ride as well. But, I mean, you got to think we're one of the favorites. We're going to be certainly have a shot at it when it all comes down to the end.
No, I got to agree with you. Well, have fun with it and keep it up, Chris.
All right.
Thanks. Okay, buddy. Have a good one.
All right.
Bye-bye.
You too. Bye.
Bye-bye.
He's having a good time with it. I like that. But, you know, being an engineering guy and being maybe a little awkward, that would be a lot of fun.
So he said he's got a steady girlfriend now. Can you imagine him going out in public? They run into a Surrender Cobra groupie. Groupies. Or he goes to a party or something like that.
I thought for sure he met the girl through that thing. I thought he had to have met the girl that way. But no, allegedly, it had nothing to do with her. At least she's sticking to that story. Good guy, though.
Yeah.
And I think he's right about Michigan. I don't know. How much you watch Michigan play, Joey?
I watch every game.
How good do you think they are?
I think they're up there. I think they're just as good as anybody.
Yeah, I think he's right.
I mean, defense is awesome. So
they have been dominant. I mean, they have had, you know, near shutouts, it seems like, at least four or five games. They got two shutouts.
Is it just me, or does Wilton Spate look like Jim Harbaugh?
Yeah, he does.
It's just like him.
He's playing his ass off, too. I mean, I cannot believe how accurate he's been. You know, I remember seeing him play, and he was okay off the bench. He had one game where he did kind of rescue him, but I never thought there was anything special about him at all. But he's big as hell. He's hard to sack. I mean, he just sidesteps his way out of being sacked, it seems like. Anytime there's somebody who gets in on him, he's big, too, very hard to tackle. And I've just been really impressed by his accuracy since that first throw of the season. His first pass was an interception.
Yeah.
And since then, he's been really pretty brilliant. And I don't know where he ranks nationally, but I got to believe he's ranked. His efficiency. I know he's the most efficient quarterback in the Big Ten and stands a pretty good chance of being an all-conference, which I don't think anybody would have predicted. And he's a redshirt sophomore. So he's got 2 years left. Now, this McAllister kid comes in next year, who's a five-star. You know, he's Christian McAllister's brother.
Mm-hmm.
Supposed to be...
You mean McCaffrey?
McCaffrey. God, I keep calling him McAllister.
Like Kevin McAllister McCaffrey. From Home Alone?
His brother Buzz. Buzz is a maybe that's it. Yeah, McCaffrey, of course. You know, his brother's a super stud, but this guy... The quarterback, the younger quarterback, is supposed to be just dynamo. Five stars. I guess he's, I know he had a great year last year. I assume he's doing well this year.
Seems like Harbaugh breeds competition, and that's what Spate did because they brought in O'Korn, yeah. And he fought all them off. And what's it, Morris, and the guy, kid from Brother Rice, Malzone, and all those guys. And
I mean, what is the guy? Now, this is what I always wonder. The Malzone kid, you know, superstar in high school. Morris, superstar in high school. I would have thought those guys would have transferred so long ago because there's no way they're ever going to play.
No. And they keep bringing in, you know, Harbaugh's.
Yeah, new better guys.
Guys. You'd think they'd want to switch positions or something, but.
I thought the O'Korn guy would win the job for sure.
That's what you were hearing before the season.
Well, he played a full season as Houston's starter, threw 28 touchdown passes, I think 10 interceptions, had a real good year. But they brought somebody else in who beat him out, and so that was the end of that. And you figure, I mean, that's perfect. You know, he transferred, he sat out. I think he sat out last year, or maybe it was one of those guys that was able to transfer direct. The rules are kind of weird these days. But regardless, he was eligible this year and certainly would have been expected to win the job. But now Spate not only won the job, he's had a phenomenal year. And now with his five-star coming, it's kind of reminiscent of Tom Brady and Drew Henson. Because Brady was a junior when Henson was a freshman, and everybody thought Henson would win the job. And when Michigan lost the first two games, I think Henson was a sophomore when that happened. Brady's senior year, and everybody thought, oh, play Henson. Come on, this guy, what's the point in playing Brady? But Brady went on to win the last, I think they won 11 games in a row, won the Orange Bowl against Alabama, and Drew played here and there. But then Drew came on and had a great year his junior year, and then he signed with the Yankees, which was probably... probably a mistake, because certainly he would have been a Heisman candidate, would have been a very high draft pick as a quarterback, and you have to wonder what would have happened, because after all those years playing baseball, when he went to the NFL finally, I mean, he never really played. I mean, he was third string with the Lions, wasn't he?
Yeah, he played with Dallas. That was the first big one. Dallas signed him.
He got a chance to play a couple games, but he didn't do anything.
Yeah, he didn't do much. I think he might have had another stop here and there, but yeah, he was a backup pretty much for definitely his whole career.
Yeah, I would have thought, though, that as a number one pick, or he certainly would have been a very high pick, had he stayed his senior year at Michigan, would have, because he had a great junior year. He was fantastic. He was a talented guy, and he would have gone high. And when you're picked high, you're going to play. Somebody's going to play you. You're going to have a shot.
It was with Houston in 03, Cowboys 04 and 05, Vikings 06, 07, Lions 08. So he played.
God, he was in the league for 5 years? I can't believe that. How many career passes did he throw in the NFL? I'm going to guess it's under 100.
See?
Football Reference is pretty good. Meanwhile, Jay is looking up, for some reason, he's on Teen Mom Farrah Abraham.
Well, you remember...
I don't know why.
Remember Farrah's 7-year-old daughter, Sophia?
Oh, yeah.
She's opening up a kids clothing boutique in Texas.
Oh, Sophia's running it, is she?
Yeah, well, and we tried to call it, remember, and they
yes.
said it didn't open until November.
Oh, that's right. And here it is November.
It's November. Maybe we're looking up old numbers, so.
Yeah, we should call Sophia and see how the boutique is going.
It's got an even 20.
20 attempts. Yeah. That's it?
One touchdown, and that was with Dallas in 04.
How many picks?
One.
20 passes?
Yeah.
Jesus. 6 years. Wow. Well, anyway... Michigan's 9-0, ranked second and third, and certainly if they beat Ohio State and Iowa, and they got to play Penn State too, don't they? Yeah, I think so. Yeah, they got Penn State. They got three games left. If they go 12-0, which I think they will, I think they might beat Ohio State by 10 points. Might beat them by a couple touchdowns. They just look so damn good. Of course, Ohio State kicked Nebraska's ass.
No Penn State. They play.
They don't play Penn State.
They already played Penn State September 24th.
Oh, that's right.
49. They play Indiana.
What did they beat Penn State by?
39 points. It was 49-10.
That's right. Yeah, it was ridiculous. So they got Iowa, Ohio State, and
Indiana.
Ohio, that's
Indiana,
right.
Ohio State. Okay. And at Iowa, Duh. At Ohio State, home against Indiana. One more home game left.
And then the Big Ten Championship. And then, will they be in the Final Four? I think they will. I don't know. I just can't see somebody beating them. Harbaugh is just such a damn good coach. I mean, by the way, Simpson joke about Harbaugh last night. Did you catch that?
No.
Yeah, Homer was coaching a lacrosse team with one of the other kids' fathers, and everybody hated the other coach. And Marge asked him, "Do they hate him as much as Jim Harbaugh?" And Homer said, "No, not that much." And there was a story about it on M Life. I think it was an M Life today. And I'm reading the story, and I see there's already a bunch of comments. So of course I got to read the comments. I know these Michigan people are. This has got to be killing them. A mean joke about Jim Harbaugh. And sure enough, they're all reassuring themselves that it's because he wins so much. Look at how people feel about Nick Saban. They don't really hate him. It's just that he wins. Okay. He's fine with that now. So, Lions with an incredible come-from-behind victory.
Unbelievable.
It was unbelievable.
It was unbelievable.
You know, Stafford and his fourth quarter comebacks, it just cannot be ignored. I don't care what their record is, this year, last year, any year. He is, in the last 4 or 5 minutes of a game, I don't know if there's anybody else I'd rather have.
No. My only gripe with the Lions and their offense is some teams do it, like the Patriots. They'll run their two-minute or their no-huddle earlier in the game. If you're in need of points, start picking up the pace, because clearly that's the best option for the Lions offense, is that no-huddle or two-minute warning type offense.
Well, how do you explain that they just disappear for half the game? It's like they can't get a first down the entire third quarter. They barely had any offense going in the fourth quarter. And then all of a sudden, they got to move 45 yards in how many seconds do they have? 33 seconds?
I don't even think they had that much.
23 seconds. They had 23 seconds. And they got, and this is what I do not understand defenses. Why do people play ever a prevent defense in those situations? Because they just roll down the field every time. First, of course, it's always the back out of the backfield, it seems like. Although I forgot what the first, who was his first pass to? The second one was to Andre Roberts for 27 yards.
Right, I'm looking. Let me try to find it here.
Maybe it was it Ebron? I think it was Ebron, actually, had a big reception to about the 40-yard line, because they started fairly deep, or they may have started the 25. But they needed 25 yards, at least, on that play. It's like they got one play, they got to get 25 yards, or forget it. And sure enough, he drills that ball to Andre Roberts, 27 yards. He catches it on his back. It was a hell of a catch, a hell of a throw. And why is it when he has to get it, it seems like he can do it? I mean, they had to have those two completions. They had to have them right then. And if they didn't, the game was over. And boom, what do you know, he got them. And then, of course, they get the ball first in overtime. And they just rolled down the field. And there was no doubt in my mind they were going to score.
Yeah. Or was there any doubt in your mind he was going to hit that field goal? Because he blasted that one right before that.
I didn't think distance would be a problem. No. You know, maybe he'd be off. But he's been pretty clutch, actually.
Yeah. Really, it was only that one pass to Roberts. I mean, you had Golden Tate. That short pass to the left for 8 yards.
That's
remember,
right.
He didn't go get the first down.
It was he went out of bounds at like the 33.
Yep, exactly, Drew, at the 33. And then the deep middle pass for
27 yards
to Andre Roberts. And then to spike the ball, too, to everybody to get in that formation.
Yeah, that was pretty. That's always a little hinky, getting set up, you know, and getting the referees the fuck out of the way.
Yeah, man.
And he did. And it didn't matter what happened there. He was going to just snap the ball with a couple seconds left, and they had to stop the clock then. So,
5-4 in the division. Minnesota's 5-3.
But they beat them head on.
Yep, Green Bay is 4-4.
But most impressive, they started out 1-3, and here they are, 4 wins in 5 games in a bunch of games that were not expected to win necessarily. So, that's the bye week now, and then they got the Jaguars, the Vikings again. The Saints, the Bears, the Giants, the Cowboys, and let's see, you got another one after the Packers?
No, Cowboys Packers look tough, man.
Yeah, the 7-1. What now? What do they do when Romo comes back?
I mean, I don't know. I would think they're going to go back to Romo, but it's hard. It's hard. Dak Prescott is a stud. I don't know how you can take him out to. From what I heard, the receivers really like Tony Romo, Witten, Beasley, Des Bryant.
Although still, Witten had an incredible game yesterday. 10 catches for 134, or 8 catches for 134 yards.
Picked him up in my fantasy.
Ah, did you?
Needed it.
How's your fantasy team doing?
Middle of the road.
How's Mark doing anything?
I'm sure he's in. You know, I'm not in a league this year because of us being let go and all that. We didn't get one together with work people, but I'm sure he's in a couple or at least one.
Oh, yeah.
For sure.
Oh, he is. I'm sure he is. Well, anyway, yeah, 5-4 in pretty good shape to do something and, you know, in great shape for the post-bye, too. And as far as health, you know, he might have a couple guys coming back that they could really use. Isn't it amazing that Ziggy Ansah does not even have a sack?
It's unbelievable. What a year, difference a year makes, huh?
I know. Well, if you told me that last year, okay, Calvin Johnson will be gone, Ziggy Ansah will not have a sack the first 9 games, and the Lions will be doing pretty well, I would have said, no way.
And their defensive line looks really good.
They do.
I don't even know who half these guys are.
I know. Where'd this Hyder guy come from? I don't even know where he came from. Honestly, I don't. It's funny with the lack of interest. Of course, everyone is interested in the NFL, but the interest level, the ratings are way down. And I'm finding myself watching less football. I don't know why. It's like Saturday, I watch it all day. I love college football. I always watch Michigan. I went back and watched the last half of the Michigan State game, which was, I don't know, I feel bad for the Spartans.
I saw you look back at the tape.
Yeah.
On Twitter, you were telling me.
Yeah, I tweeted out a couple things about the game. First of all, Illinois did something I've never, ever, 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 ever seen before. Okay, Michigan State gets down to like the 15-yard line, and Illinois was up 31-27. Illinois calls timeout. So Michigan State, I think it was for the last play of the game. Michigan State goes, they get to the line. Illinois calls timeout again. So everybody's resets, they go back out. Illinois calls timeout again. They called all three timeouts before one play consecutively. Really? I didn't know you could do that.
It worked, didn't it?
Yeah, they stopped them.
Jeez.
They didn't complete the last pass. In fact, I think they sacked him. Or
you can add that to your list. If that Michigan would be undefeated and Michigan State would be what?
2-7. Exactly. Yeah, and I'm not sure what to make of that. You know, I've read a lot about State and what's going on there. They do have a lot of injuries. God, that Michigan State-Illinois game, by the way, if you watched it or you didn't watch it, it was one of the weirdest games in that. Okay, I'm speeding through it. So, you know, you have really a skewed view of the game, but sure. I could not believe how many plays I'm skewing through. There's, you know, a certain amount of fast-forwarding. You get in a routine where, okay, it takes this much to get to the next play, and then I stop, and I go. And there were so many times I had to continue fast-forwarding because there was a player down. There were so many players down on the field in that game. It was incredible. State had a few guys who went in and out of the game like three times, injured, not injured, injured, not injured. And then there were a bunch of guys who were knocked out of the game. It was crazy how many injuries there were, and also reviews. And that's, I'm finding this to be true of, well, let's see. Is it more college? Yeah, I guess it depends on the game, but I watched a couple games on Saturday, and I think I was watching a pro game as well, where between just regular timeouts and all the reviews, the last like 4 minutes of the game must have taken 40 minutes. It was unbelievable, the reviews. And it's like, it doesn't seem possible, but okay, it was the Virginia Tech-Duke game on Saturday. Three plays out of four plays were reviewed. Three out of four plays.
At the end of the game?
Towards the end of the game. It was, one of them was a fumble. Hokies caused the fumble that should have ended the game, but it turned out they called targeting.
Of course.
The helmets hit. I know. And oh, was it, I fucking pissed.
Was it targeting?
Yes, it was.
Okay, because I feel 90% of the time they're really never targeting. It's just.
I got to tell you, though, and I think even the announcers agreed with this, and when I first saw it, this is why I was so pissed. The guy was going for the ball. And he kind of got his helmet in on the ball, and the running back ducked. Yeah. He, like, went down to, you know, just to get more yardage to kind of plow through the way running backs do. And it just so happened that the DB had also stuck his helmet in where the ball was, and he knocked it loose. Well, when the guy ducked his head, bam, the helmets kind of clashed, and the ball comes popping out, and they pick it up. And it's like big celebration, game over, and then no. Not only is there no fumble, they're 15 yards up the field to midfield, and it was like, fuck. They were up 24-21, and they're having trouble with this running quarterback Duke had. This guy was – running quarterbacks are a real problem. That's one thing Michigan Spite does not have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I wish he was a more mobile guy because that is such an element. God, it just fucks up a good defense. But fortunately, they sacked the next play. The guy that was kicked out for targeting, his brother sacked the quarterback, and then they held him for a couple more plays, and they had to punt, and they got a couple first downs, game over.
What happened in that Ohio State-Nebraska game where the quarterback got knocked out to the point where he was taken off the field in a stretcher, wrapped up like his spinal cord? The quarterback for Nebraska, is it Frazier? Frazier Jr.? Tommy Frazier Jr.? Is that
Tommy Frazier Jr. is playing for them?
God, I'm pretty sure that's his name.
Because they've had the same guy for two or three years, and he started as a freshman. And it seems like he's been there for 19 years. It's really only been there 3 years, I think. But he's been playing ever since he got there.
And then he gets carted off the field, and then he runs back on the field later. they show him going to the hospital in the blimp.
What?
Yeah, and then he runs back on the field.
No way.
Yeah. Returns the stadium after leaving a game with, it looks like, a head injury.
And that game was, the final of that game was, it was a total blowout.
I was watching Alabama LSU.
What was the score of that game, by the way?
It was really low scoring. I think it ended up being like 14-0 possibly, but LSU just didn't have enough in the tank. Alabama just, God, they are so good, Alabama.
Yeah, they are good.
Just are men amongst boys out there.
I don't know if I can see anybody beating Alabama, honestly.
Ever.
Yeah, I don't know. You know what else is weird? I'll watch the Michigan game, and then because I watch a lot of ACC, because Vatek's in the ACC, so I'm just kind of on that channel. Mm-hmm. And they'll go from, you know, Virginia Tech, Duke, or last week, what is it? Hokies were playing Pitt.
Pitt.
Yeah, that was a Thursday night game. That's right. But
10-0 was the Alabama LSU game.
10-0.
Yeah, it was a 0-0 game for a long time until the fourth quarter.
What a bore! Or was it exciting?
It was kind of a bore. There wasn't much going on. The quarterback for Alabama is a lot better than I realized.
He's good.
Yeah,
he is good. I'm surprised he didn't score any points for three quarters though. That's amazing. But what I was going to say was, I'll go from watching the Michigan game to maybe Clemson, Florida State. Last week was Clemson, Florida State, which Mark and I were making fun of. Swinney.
Dabo
Swinney.
I heard that at the end of the day.
What a chatterbox that guy is. Oh, my God. He does not answer any questions either. He just starts blabbing. It's just blah, 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 blah at the end of the day, at the end of the day. Yeah, Jay put a crown on his head with at the end of the day on it. That was one of my favorite pictures Jay's ever posted. I love that. He looked so happy with it, too. I wonder if he, you know, Jay, I wonder if there's any audio of Dabo Swinney from this week.
Tommy Armstrong, not Tommy
Frazier. Tommy Armstrong, that's right, yeah. Tommy Frazier was the guy from the 90s, I think, wasn't he?
Yeah, that's why I was back. Like, they've had the same.
But it would have been Junior. That would make sense. That's why I was almost buying it.
That's close.
November 1st,
that would have been, well, oh, that would have been the Florida State game, but we listened to that. I think we listened to that.
I was going to say, that's
that was last week.
Again, yeah.
If it was November 6th, they won. Did they? Didn't Clemson play this week? Or did they? I hope they didn't have a bye.
Clemson did, I think they played.
What I was going to say was, can you look it up? Because we need to hear Dabo Swinney if they did. Maybe they didn't play. I don't remember hearing shit about their game.
At least I don't have anything online. There's like September 13th. There's some other ones.
Well, we can go back to September 13th. Why not? We haven't heard it.
Clemson blew out Syracuse 54-9.
Oh, okay. Well, let's see.
Nice game.
First of all, we're off to a good start this week because Brent Venables remembered.
Yeah, this is a press conference. He won't be.
Birthday,
yeah. We need a post game.
So happy birthday.
Unless it's like Venables a big game, a lot of times they switch it to the next game real quick, so there isn't really much post game after those blowouts like that.
See, maybe it's just look for Dabo Swinney post game Clemson Syracuse. Maybe just try. It looks like you got all the Clemson stuff, though. He is a chatterbox. But anyway, when I see Clemson, Florida State after watching a Michigan game, I swear it looks like everybody's so much faster. Just look like the, in Alabama too. You know, if you watch Alabama or LSU Southeast Conference,
yeah,
the Big Ten looks. It just looks kind of plodding. It's kind of strange.
You can tell the difference in the games though. They're so much more physical in the Big Ten. Like when we were, what was the big game after Michigan? Michigan State was a couple weeks ago.
Oh, Wisconsin and
somebody else where it was like. A total. I think it was a Pac-12 game where there was a ton of Baylor, maybe in Utah. It was like a big game. Both teams were ranked, and then it was just such a difference between both games. Where it was that hard hitting, pounding Big Ten football, and then you got just
well, you know, it's the same thing in basketball. Big Ten. There's a lot of hitting. There's a lot of physical play under the basket, and then you see a lot more looser, you know, fast breaking type stuff. Okay, is Dabo Swinney after Auburn?
Oh, we got that or Syracuse here. This looks like it's from.
He'll probably be a little less excitable because they kicked Syracuse's ass.
Yeah,
but
the game was over.
But Dabo Swinney, if you want to hear nothingness, it's he'll always give you that.
Let me bring it back up.
Dabo, you know he was supposed to be interim coach there too. He
really?
Just went in. Yeah, I think he was brought in like mid-season, and they did really well, so they kept him. I'm not convinced he has any idea what he's doing. I think he might be one of those guys that just is a great recruiter.
The goal was to find a way to win, you know, win the opener, get the 1-0. Our guys were able to do that. It's still our team. I've been to Auburn a bunch.
The audio is a little rough.
That's
all right. We'll find him. Well, he'll be back. I mean, the ACC championship's coming up, and then they'll be in the Final Four. will be kind of fun for me, or not so fun actually, is the Hokies will probably win that Coastal Division.
Yeah.
They are in first place because they beat Carolina straight up. Records are even. So unless they lose to Georgia Tech or Virginia, which is certainly possible because they're kind of, you know, they got a new coach and it's a little, they're, I mean, they almost lost to Duke. So anything could happen. But they could win that Coastal Conference. And if they do, they will earn the right to be murdered by Clemson because I don't think anybody in that conference can stay up with Clemson. God, they're good.
Texas A&M lost. That was big. They were number four in the country.
Yeah, no doubt.
Washington, though, they look tough. I mean, again,
yeah, Washington's really good.
It's hard to tell when you got a team putting up 66 points, you know, against Cal.
And you're playing in totally different conferences, and the conferences don't play. And so, no, you don't know. It's really, I mean, that's what makes college so interesting, I think.
It's all going to come down, really, to that Ohio State-Michigan game, which is good. That's how, you know, it's set up to be. And
the question is, can you lose that game and survive and still have a shot? I don't know. You know, Mark seems to think both of them could have gone to the – I don't know with Ohio State losing a game, though. If Ohio State beat Michigan, they would be the Big Ten champion for beating Michigan outright. They'd have the same record. I think you're going to have hell to pay if somebody – is to suggest two Big Ten teams be in the Final Four, but we'll see.
I mean, okay, so if Alabama wins out, assuming they win out.
They will.
Okay, then you assume Clemson wins out.
I think they will.
Okay, and Michigan loses, then that puts two Ohio State. You still have Washington.
Right.
So the winner of that game, I mean.
You're going to need them to lose a game.
Right, and then to make it. Louisville, I think, you know.
They've lost one.
They could.
They're really good.
Ohio State or Michigan could jump them. Then there's Auburn. I mean, who knows? They have to play Alabama. If they beat Alabama.
Oh, that's right. What's Auburn's record?
7-2, 5-1 in the SEC. They're ranked number 9, though.
Yeah, I know. It's God, the rankings are rather fascinating. I keep looking at, you know, my team, of course. They're ranked 18th. And Florida State, who's lost 3 games, somehow stays in front of us.
Yeah. And
but Western, they've got a hellacious schedule.
And Western.
Yeah, Western Michigan.
23. They can't get higher than like 20.
I don't know how they do it. They play nobody. Yeah. They play absolutely nobody. I mean, they beat Illinois. They beat a Big Ten team, which is great. But, you know, with a MAC schedule, I don't even see how they can be 23, really. I mean, how many of those teams, let's just take the teams from, say, number 17 to 25. How many of those teams do you think Western would beat if they played them head on? Maybe one?
You'd be surprised, though, because this year it's not as you know, spread out. Let's see. Oklahoma's 14. I'm not so I really don't know. I mean, 15, Oklahoma. Colorado. Michigan played Colorado.
Yeah, Colorado. Yeah, that's true. I mean,
24 Boise State, so they're behind them. Nebraska did not look good against Ohio State. They're 7-2.
No, but, you know, if Ohio State played Western Michigan, don't you think they could just murder them on the right day?
Oh, God, yeah.
I mean, it was one of those days. I think Nebraska could play Ohio State a lot closer than that.
Florida lost to Arkansas, but you still probably would take Florida there. Penn State, they're ranked 12.
I can't imagine Penn State losing to Western Michigan. I just can't imagine. I mean, Western Michigan, I think between you know, the quarterback and Davis, 84, the wide receiver, the quarterback's name is Terrell. I mean, those two guys are an amazing combination. I think they had 272 yards between them a couple weeks ago. And they're going to get their they're going to have some hookups in any game, but the question is depth and I mean, throughout their starting lineup, I just have to believe a program like Penn State is just going to beat them man for man in so many of those matchups. But you know, they're confident. They're it's a program that I'm sure is the guy's built an incredible program there. I don't know how in the hell they keep him.
Yeah.
How is Western going to keep him? They're paying him $800,000 a year. He's probably going to have offers for, you know, I don't know, $2.5-3 million.
I would think, yeah, to double his, at least double his salary.
At least.
Yeah.
I've heard him connected to, let's see, which job is it? Maybe the Purdue job?
See, would you leave Western and all the success you've built and everything to go to Purdue?
Well, the problem is you're playing the MAC, you know. Think of some of those games, for example, when you play Eastern Michigan in front of 8,000 people.
Yeah.
Or you play, I don't know, Ball State or something like that. You know, the crowds are about one-third the size. And then you go to a place like Purdue. The problem with going to Purdue is, you know, can you really be a factor in the Big Ten? Can you? No, probably not.
Unless Drew Brees is walking through that door again.
I mean, once in a while they're going to compete. Maybe once every 20 years they're going to put together a team. They've had a few good teams there.
Did Western beat Virginia Tech?
No. Uh-uh.
They're 19. Oklahoma State's 18.
I'll tell you why I don't think they can. They've played them a bunch of times in recent years, and they've just wailed on them. They beat them. The last time Virginia Tech played them at Western was about 5 years ago, and we went in there ranked, I think we were ranked pretty high, and it was a big deal. It was one of the biggest crowds they'd ever had there because they were playing a ranked team, and I think it was 30-0. But, you know, they're a better team now. Anyway, this Fleck guy is getting – something interesting is going to happen for him because Western's raising a bunch of money to try and keep him, but I can't see how they would or why. I mean, he's going to move on. He's got to move on.
And he's all over the place, too. He's all over ESPN now. Everybody loves him.
Yeah.
So
he's no, he's got when you've got publicity. That when you've got all that going for you, it's hard not to jump and take advantage of it.
That wide receiver, Corey Davis for Western against Ball State last week. 12 yeah. receptions, 272 yards.
That's what I was talking about.
Touchdowns.
Yeah. I wonder how high a draft pick he's going to be.
I think he's
projected. Yeah. See if you can find his draft projection. What's that, Jay?
I know Malik McDowell's up there.
Oh, is Malik going this year? He's only a junior.
He's going top 10.
Is he really?
Yeah.
I'm a little surprised because that guy gets injured almost every fucking game he walks off the field with something
he's
wrong.
He's so good.
He is good. I agree. Not having that great a year. Well, what can you say about State?
Yeah, I mean, he's having
it. Was it, Jay?
Bill Collector looking for somebody named Robert.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's like an automated call. This is an important call for Robert so-and-so.
Oh,
if
wow.
you're not Robert so-and-so, hang up.
I'll look for him when we get done. Robert, huh?
Yeah.
I wonder where he's hanging out. Is he running up these bills? Bastard.
Let's see here. Who are we looking
Corey
at?
Corey Davis.
I thought it was going to be an election call. You know, are you getting all the...
I have not been getting those. Are you guys getting them?
Yeah, I'm getting a few of them here and there.
On your cell phone?
Cell phone,
really?
At your office, landline, yep.
Peppers and McDowell are projected in the top 15.
No shit. So CBS. State loses another good player.
I'm still looking for our guy.
Corey?
Maybe he's not on their radar.
I would think if you search on highest projected wide receivers in 2017 draft. I was looking up tight ends the same way because Mark and I were talking about Jake Butt and Bucky Hodges at Vatek. They're both projected to go real high, actually. Although O.J. Howard, I think it is at Alabama, is supposed to go higher than either one of them. But Bucky Hodges is 6'7". I don't know why they don't throw to him more. He's playing some wide receiver, too. They both got like 35 catches. Jake Butt is great.
He is
solid. God, they are strong, man.
The tight end for State was solid, too. Price.
Yeah, he dropped two touchdown passes this week. He's good, though. He is good. I don't know what's – how do you explain Michigan State being that bad? It's just – I just think they're going to be back. You know, I hear a lot of different opinions. You know, oh, Harbaugh's taking his guys. I read a story today that I think is the best explanation I've seen yet. Their 2013 and their 2014 recruiting classes have been disappointments. You know how they seem to get these three-star guys they coach up, mm-hmm. you know, who become Connor Cooks or Trey Waynes's or – Darquez Dennard or whatever. They just have a lot of guys who have not quite reached that level that some of these guys have the last 4 or 5 years. However, their 2015 and 2016 recruiting classes are outstanding. It's just that those guys aren't playing much because they're either redshirt freshmen or they're redshirt they're either redshirting as freshmen or they're redshirt freshmen.
So and there is
yeah.
turnaround hopefully for them.
Yeah, they've got a lot in the pipeline, the younger guys, but it might be a couple years, and they need a couple more good classes to turn it around. But we'll see about that. I mean, the quarterback's such a big part of that, too. I just don't think they had the right quarterback this year. I think if they had started with Lewerke,
yeah,
I like him.
He looked okay until he got hurt.
Damn right. Man, he's fast. He runs well. He's a dual threat guy.
Looks like he's definitely out of the first round. Corey Davis... I'm looking at him up.
I think he's a spectacular kind of guy. I mean, he'll go up and get the ball. He makes some circus catches. He's got great hands. He runs good routes. But, you know, when you put him up against the rest of the nation and look at the competition he's playing against, it's just hard sometimes to project those guys. But I bet he'll make it in the NFL. You know, maybe not as a high pick, but
kind of related, not related. We were talking a little bit earlier about, you know, what we've been talking for a while about NFL ratings are dropping on TV, not as many people.
Which I love. I'm so happy. Fuck the NFL. They're such assholes.
Well, how
they can ESPN can both go to hell.
I'm just thinking how much of a job prospect do you think professional football is going to be then? If ratings go down, if you think some of the revenue, do you think it ever might drop to where, you know,
probably not. I'd love to see it, but
yeah.
Honestly, their ratings are way down, and they're trying to drum up a lot. Oh, it's an election year, and you know this happened. Mm-hmm. No, I think there is an explosion. There's too much football. People aren't going to watch it on Sunday, Monday, Thursday, Sunday, Saturday. I mean, they're just we don't have enough time for all year football. I mean, we felt like we did. We tried. We tried to give you all our time, but we just don't have it. And some of the matchups, you know, you got to have two good teams on the field if we're going to watch on Thursday night or Sunday night.
Yeah, that's the problem is when they get matched up with those terrible teams.
Mm-hmm.
They should flex, you know, try to flex more. I don't know what the solution. They'll do whatever
it
takes.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, when you have that many nights of football, there's only so many good games every week. So, you know, when Monday night gets first shot at it, then Thursday and Sunday don't get as good. Whoever has second shot or third shot.
Corey Davis is projected actually to go to the end of the first round.
Really?
And a couple of them, it looks like they have him around 30.
Wow.
Second round, possibly. But not far behind is J.U. Chesson, believe it or not.
What about Darbo? Isn't Darbo a senior too?
Yeah, you would think he's up there.
Darbo's one he's having a year.
It's one
man.
Of those where those ads keep popping up, Drew, that you were talking about. So I have to sit.
Oh God, it's annoying. You know, it's so funny with the NFL too. It's like, you know, we're talking about Chesson and Darbo. No, I'm just automatically thinking, well, Darbo's having a better year, but you know, maybe Chesson runs a 4.45 and Darbo runs a 4.58. You know, it's so with the NFL, it's all about.
It looks like he might be the second receiver off the board, according to this.
Chesson? Or Corey?
Corey.
Okay.
The receiver from Clemson.
Oh, yeah. He's great.
Mike Williams, as if the world needs another Mike Williams. The Lions pick him, right?
You know, it's funny, though, you know, to think that two guys in Michigan are going to go that high. It just seems like there's so many receivers. You know, that Isaiah Ford guy of Vatek is going to be their all-time leading receiver this year, and I don't, maybe sticking around for a senior year. I don't know. Does he show up on any of those boards? Isaiah Ford?
Let's see if I can do this way.
It's really funny. When I started looking at these tight ends, I noticed that everyone I searched on seemed to be a late first-round pick. It's like, they can't all go late in the first round.
Last name Ford, you said?
Isaiah Ford, yeah.
47, he's projected. This is just one, so that just gives you an idea of the range he's in. So around 45-ish.
Already?
Yeah.
But, I mean, there's just so many guys. But I'm impressed that Corey Davis could go that high at a Western. I mean, teams are less reluctant to pick guys out of the MAC or out of these small programs. You see these Division II guys going fairly high sometimes.
Yeah. Look at Greg Jennings. He was a Western guy. Antonio Brown, the best receiver in the league. He's a Central guy.
He's the first
pick in the draft a couple years ago. Eric Fisher, a tackle.
Yeah.
He's from Central.
Central, sure.
Jason Babin.
No, they're all over the league. Yeah. It's kind of amazing. I never thought the MAC could be such a factor in the NFL. It's just, there's just so many guys, and they can't all play in the Big Ten. They can't all play in the ACC. They can't all play in the Southeast, so. You know, a lot of them end up in the MAC, and guys develop, too. That's another thing. Some of these guys get so coached up, and they get in a good weight program for 4 years, and all of a sudden, bam.
Late bloomers or some grow a little later or something like that, yeah.
Or, you know, got a little more heart. So, getting off the sports bug.
This day in rock.
Yeah, this day in rock. You know, I didn't even do this day in rock, but I can look it up real fast because I wanted to look it up.
I tried looking it up. We don't have this day in history on our little...
Yeah, we have to add that.
We have some. We're working our way back, but this particular date we do not have today.
That's weird.
It is. I think when we started reassembling it, the weekends.
By the way, we might be just hours away from a donate button.
Ooh.
And I mean literally maybe like 48 hours away.
Jinx
That's not many hours, though. I mean, we thought it was 48 hours away 2 weeks ago. It's been a real, boy, it can be very frustrating doing this goddamn podcast. But not doing the podcast, but not doing the podcast, doing all the other stuff. We're working on merchandise, working on a donate button. And, you know, to make it work, we're probably going to need help from you, those of you listening. And some of you, if you can't swing it, I get it. But some of you have made a point of emailing and saying, hey, how do I donate? You know, I want to subscribe. Here's the thing about subscribing. We can't – I don't want to do that because that will – limit the podcast. We will lose audience. There's no way. Not everybody can afford it. So those people will be left out. And that gives you a smaller audience to sell to an advertiser. And I think it is absolutely, it just is not in my DNA to do something that limits the audience. You know, I'd rather just shit can it and say, you know what? We can't monetize. There's just not enough way to pay a couple people to make this worthwhile. We're going to have to find a terrestrial job. But I'd like to try. So we're going to see what we can get. We can drum up in donations, and then we should get some advertisers on board, and hopefully there's enough to make it worthwhile. We can make a living doing this. I never thought we'd be doing that, but it looks like we're going to try. And we're just about, let's see, today is the 8th of November. We're 7 days from 25 years since day one at WRIF. So on the probably like maybe the 14th through the 16th, we'll be talking about those early days at RIF and maybe even digging up a few things. Oh, is today the anniversary?
It is.
Okay, crank it. Oh, boy.
First of all, let me say late afternoon. Because of the HIV virus that I have attained, I will have to retire from the Lakers today. I just want to make clear, first of all, that I do not have the AIDS disease, because I know a lot of you want to know that, but the HIV virus.
The AIDS disease.
My wife is fine. She's negative, so no problem with her. I plan on going on living for a long time, bugging you guys like I've always have. So you'll see me around. I plan on being with the Lakers in the league. Hopefully David will have me for a while. And going on with my life. And I guess now I get to enjoy some of the other sides of living that because of the season and the long practices and so on. I just want to say that I'm a miss playing, and I will now become a spokesman for the HIV virus because I want people and young people to realize.
I wonder, I have speculated on that announcement right there. I'm going to be part of the AIDS community sort of thing. When he first told Cookie about it, and he was told they wanted him to talk to Paul Glazer because his wife had gotten AIDS from a transfusion. I just had this vision of Magic going, I don't want to get in with these AIDS people. What a pain in the ass going from the NBA to educating the public on AIDS. Fuck, I barely know what it is. But he walked the walk, pretty much. Raised a lot of money. He's good. Magic's a good guy. There's no way around it. He was a horrible talk show host, but he's a damn good guy.
He's got a fine son.
Yeah, EJ is one wild dude, man. And Magic did announce that he had attained the AIDS virus, which that's a strange way of putting it.
Attained. But
we all kind of knew what he meant. And he did attain it. I mean, he screwed a lot of chicks. He balled a lot of women. He had a lot of unprotected sex. So he, in a way, he did attain the AIDS virus. Maybe that's what he meant. I don't know. I'd like to ask him. But he doesn't have it anymore. That's the amazing thing. Neither does Charlie Sheen. You know, that conversation with Sheen was really strange. I mean, Charlie pretty much said he doesn't really have AIDS anymore.
A friend of mine, John, would always say, you know, if you want to cure cancer, just give it to somebody like Bill Gates. They'll cure cancer in no time at all.
Didn't Steve Jobs have cancer?
Yeah, he did. Yeah. That's true.
can't hide from that, man. That's a bitch.
Yeah, that's a motherfucker. No doubt about it.
I watched that movie just recently. Not the Ashton Kutcher one.
The Jobs movie?
Yeah, the Jobs.
Yeah, there's about three of them.
He's
They're all pretty
dick,
good.
Huh?
He is an asshole.
God,
he was a real asshole.
Think about buying an Apple, the closed system and all that. Ugh.
I just could not stand the way he treated his wife.
Yeah.
It was just horrible. His daughter. I mean, God, he was a terrible guy.
Yeah.
And his coworkers too. I mean, those people busting their asses
Wozniak,
to get stuff done. Yeah,
was
Wozniak.
It the Apple II team.
Yep.
Did not acknowledge him.
Wozniak was the cool guy there. No way around it.
Right.
He is just that guy. You know, he's a smart guy. In his garage, he comes up with this incredible thing and makes all this money. And what does he do? He takes private jets to concerts all around the world. He hires bands for birthday parties. I mean, he just has a ball with it.
Awesome.
I mean, nobody was meant to be rich more than Woz. Celebrity net worth only $100 million? God, I thought it'd be worth more than that.
That cannot be. Who? Steve Wozniak?
Yeah, $100 million. I don't believe that either.
He makes that in a year. Jay looked up Calvin Johnson the other day. It says net worth was only $20 million. He made that in like 1 year.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. Now, Steve Jobs, it says $10.2 billion. How could he be worth? That's 100 times what
Wozniak
is worth. That doesn't seem right.
Way more.
All right, to stay in rock. Let's see, I just had it up here. What's going on for November the 8th? The Beatles worked on a new George Harrison song on this day in 1965 for the forthcoming Rubber Soul album. After rehearsing the song, they recorded the basic instrumental track in one take, Think for Yourself. Great George Harrison song, actually. They seem to come up every day in this day in rock. 1968, the Who, Joe Cocker, and the Grease Band, the Mindbenders, and the Crazy World of Arthur Brown all appeared at the Walthamstow Granada Theater in England. How could you possibly have that many people on the bill? Joe Cocker, the Mindbenders, the Crazy World of Arthur Brown. Oh, that's three bands. It sounds like more than that. Something, the first Beatles A-side composed by George Harrison, entered the UK singles charts, peaked at number four in the UK, went on to be number one in the US chart. It was a two-sided number one with Come Together on the other side, the John Lennon track. 1971, Zeppelin released their four album with no title printed on the album, generally referred to as Four Symbols, the fourth album, or Led Zeppelin 4. It has sold 37 million copies. The 19th century rustic oil painting on the front of the album was purchased by Robert Plant from an antique shop in Reading, Berkshire, England. The 20th century urban tower block on the back of the full gatefold LP cover is Butterfield Court in Evesday, Dudley, England. Thank you very much. Of course, Led Zeppelin 4 has Stairway to Heaven on it, which was... Oh boy, it was almost like a single. You know, I just remember radio at the time, Stairway to Heaven got so much airplay.
Oh, yeah.
And somehow, I don't know, why did that become the ultimate Led Zeppelin song? Because I don't think it's the ultimate Led Zeppelin song at all.
I don't either. I mean, it's a great song, it's well put together, but I don't think it's...
Why was it foisted on us that way? I mean, I think I prefer something like Kashmir.
Oh, yeah.
Or maybe something like Physical Graffiti.
Yeah, I mean, there's loads and loads of...
I know there are tracks. So many great songs. Do you have a favorite Led Zeppelin song? It's kind of like asking somebody for your favorite Beatles song.
The Ocean.
What's that?
The Ocean.
Oh, you're like, oh, The Ocean, great song. That's a great... Is that Led Zeppelin 2? I think it is.
Yeah, Over the Hills, Far
Away. Iron Maker.
Do you like the acoustic Led Zeppelin songs like Gallows Pole or do you like prefer the more electric?
I like all of it because, oh, I mean...
Play I it. Do too. Yeah.
It's good.
I mean, they have a lot of acoustic songs. I mean, they really do have a lot of sort of, not mellower, but just more in the acoustic vein. And I like all those songs. And I like the heavy stuff, too. I love Physical Graffiti. I love that when it came out.
Come on. Play.
Oh, yeah. That's Led Zeppelin, too, isn't it?
Yeah. It's great.
And I think that's another one of the borrowed songs.
So it's just great acoustic.
It is. No, it's really good.
Ones, yeah.
It's really good. 1975, November 8th, David Bowie made his U.S. TV debut playing Fame. You'll not believe where.
Where?
On the Cher show.
That's where it debuted?
Yes. Bowie was living in New York at the time and written the song with John Lennon during a jamming session. Yeah, and it just came out of John Lennon yelling, Fame! Into the microphone. And Bowie thought, well, we got something there. And what do you know? That was a big song for him. He's got a second version of it, too, that he did in the 2000s. Oh, this is the Cher Show version? trying to determine if this is going to be a lip sync. It sounds sounds too perfect, doesn't it?
Yeah.
No, it's just live. That sax was a little extra loud there. Well, you should see this set. That's really funky.
Probably just like a little 5x5 thing too. They're just roving the camera around.
Yeah. It's just strange the way these people had to show up on these weird shows in the 70s because there was nowhere else to play. Yeah. I mean, you can be on SNL starting in 75, but that's once a year.
You remember what? Solid Gold was a big...
Don Kirshner's rock concert.
Remember too, back in the day, all those shows, they had that sign. They had to have a disco sign. In case you didn't know,
yes.
Disco, and it's like at every damn show, they had one of those.
The other place where you'd see these people is on like Mike Douglas or Tom Snyder or, oh God, what's her name? Boy, was on her fucking show. The afternoon show. She dated Burt Reynolds for a long time. Dinah Shore. Dinah Shore. Yeah. That one thing when Bowie died and I went searching for all of Bowie's stuff, I find him on the Dinah Shore show being introduced by Dinah Shore, and she's trying to sound like she knows all about David Bowie. And then Henry Winkler, who's a guest, starts helping. Oh, man. It's like, yeah, this guy's really cool. Okay, let's see what else for today. Berlin started a four-week run at number one on the UK singles chart with Take Your Breath Away. That was, of course, from Top Gun. Yeah, whatever. Won the Academy Award for Best Original Song. Really? Take Your Breath Away. Okay.
They did the Metro, too, didn't they?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, they had a couple tunes. Let's see. Four men were arrested on suspicion of perverting the course of justice after police raided a house in Camden belonging to Amy Winehouse. The arrests were in connection with a court case involving her husband, Blake Fielder Civil, who faced civil charges of causing grievous bodily harm. She, I swear, there's an arrest deal with her about every eighth day of the year on this day in history. It's amazing. God, that chick was in trouble. Have you seen her documentary, either one of you guys?
I haven't seen it. I heard you said it was awesome.
It's really good.
I just haven't seen it yet.
And I read her mother's book, and it's really, I just felt so bad for her. I mean, you know how hard kids can be, and, you know, here you've got this daughter who's become this, you know, international superstar, and she's just in a world of trouble. And every time she would dry up or whatever, and, oh, she's better, she's doing okay. And then, you know, the next time she'd see her, she'd just be bombed off her ass or on something else. She was just such a mess. Oh, what a mess. What else going on for today other than, this is weird. 4 years ago today, reports surfaced that Jermaine Jackson filed legal papers in Los Angeles Superior Court asking to have the spelling of his last name be altered to Jackson, J-A-K-S-S-U-N, for artistic reasons. What? The request was granted in February 2013. So Jermaine Jackson is spelled J-A-C-K-S-U-N. For artistic reasons.
Okay.
Whatever. Okay. And what else? You know, a couple things around town. I saw this jury. This jury that awarded this guy $37 million because the cops beat him up in Genesee County. Did you guys hear anybody hear about anything about that?
No.
Yeah, it's a pretty weird story. I mean, when I started reading this, I'm like, I remembered the story, but then I was trying to remember, why did they beat the shit out of this guy, and how bad did they beat him up for $37 million? I mean, the jury is making a big stand here in terms of saying, you know, if you're thinking about beating the shit out of somebody, and, you know, the guy that was pulled over in Redford.
Redford, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm trying to think of his name, and he was punched, you know, the guy Rabbit punched him 16 times in the head.
Right.
He's in jail, and actually... they were talking about paroling or letting him out on parole, and now Kim Worthy's come up and said, no, no, not so fast, because he got 1 to 10 years, and hasn't been long enough. I mean, that was a real messy deal, and that was bullshit. I thought that was rotten.
Genesee County, so this is what, out of Flint, or?
No, it was in Redford.
No, I mean the story.
Oh, this is in Genesee County. Yes, Flint. I believe it was Flint. The jail was Flint Township. He's from Flint Township. Things got ugly fast in Genesee County Courthouse. Sucker was beaten, dragged to the floor, had his face smashed into the cement wall, was tied down with a bag over his face. Now, that's all the stuff you hear when you first read the story. The jailhouse camera captured it all, which the jury reacted very strongly to, with a jaw-dropping $36.6 million verdict rarely seen in this part of the country. Verdict not only sought to make the victim whole, lawyer said, but sends a message to law enforcement about excessive force. Case involves William Jennings of Flint Township, who sued 5 Genesee County Sheriff's officers for allegedly excessive force following a drunk driving arrest in 2010. More than half of the verdict is punitive. I think it's like 16-6, and then 20 of it is punitive. Additionally, the appeal will be undertaken, and these attorneys on the appeal side sound extremely confident. I don't know if they should be so confident, honestly. But here's the story. He'd been in a fight at a Flint bar, fired gunshots in an effort to threaten a neighbor, and had smoked crack cocaine all in the same night. So there were multiple calls for police about this guy, but he kept kind of one step ahead of the law. So the binge continued. When he was finally taken to the jail for booking, he was very combative and disorderly. He bit an officer in the hand, which required the use of a spit mask at that point. That's why the bag was put over his head. He was then tasered and placed in a restraint bed. The force and maneuvers utilized were appropriate to control the situation, the defense argued in court documents. They then attacked him in jail. Then they handcuffed him and continued to assault him, smashing his face in the wall. And that's where things seemed to become so much in his favor in terms of the jury, was when he was handcuffed, he was assaulted. They took him into a safety cell, covered his mouth, tasered him some more, put a bag over his head, and tied him down. But the only thing that bothers me about this, you know, I agree there was excessive force, and I would certainly say that he deserves something. I don't know what.
Well, it's the thing, if you look in the picture here,
yeah,
you know, from the surveillance video, there must have been all kinds of hell going on out there, because they got a restraint chair and the restraint bed, and they've got all these padding suits.
Yeah,
up here.
No, he was going nuts.
Yeah, so
he went bonkers.
They won't wheel that stuff out just for anything, you know, but they've got like every piece of equipment out there in the hallway, so there must have been a lot of.
I sort of feel like cops deserve a little bit of a break for the adrenaline that these people cause. You know, for example, I don't know, I was not a fan of the Rodney King beating. It was certainly excessive. But yeah, when you've been chasing a guy for 20 miles, going 110 miles an hour, or in this guy's case, you know, he's beating people up in a bar. He's shooting a weapon into, you know, in his neighborhood. He's smoking crack cocaine. He's out of his mind. And, you know, when they bring him in, he's fighting like a banshee. He bites a guy in the hand. Spitting. I mean, you get fucking pissed.
Yeah.
And you fight back a little bit. And you get a little crazy. I suppose he deserves some money, but come on, $37 million. We're going to make this guy multi-millionaire. I mean, he is a rich man. He's a wealthy, wealthy man. Who would not? I'm not saying I would want to go through what he went through, but for $37 million, you might say yes. I don't know. It just seems like ridiculous. I'm sure an appeal. I don't know. Sometimes those things hold up. We'll see. Yeah, I know. I don't know. Does it seem a little ridiculous?
Ridiculous. Well,
I mean,
ridiculous. I think so.
I don't think he's learned anything from this.
No, that he's right is what he's learned. They really did him wrong when he was really a major fucking asshole to everyone in his path.
Well, you know, it gives others incentive. Just make a big hellacious stink in jail, and you got a chance of, you know, getting a settlement. You just make a big steal. What do you got to lose? You know.
No, that's true, and I think there are people that think about that shit. You guys see Saturday Night Live?
Little bit of it.
They have really had a ball with this election. No way around that. And I think all the Alec Baldwin stuff's been great as Trump, and Kate McKinnon as Hillary. I wasn't nuts about this week's sketch. They had a few funny things, but what I'm really excited about is Chappelle next week.
Yeah, I was going to say, I thought it was this past week, and that's why I made sure I turned it on, but it's next week.
Chappelle has been so MIA. I mean, from me at least.
Yeah.
You know, because I love the guy, and when he comes into my orbit, I always want to watch him. But he just has been very, I don't know, conspicuously absent. Ever since he got that $50 million deal, it seems like he's just disappeared.
Lost his mind.
So, it's just going to be really interesting to see a guy like that, who is so brilliant, you know, work with those people for a week and see what they come up with. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, you know, it's so hit or miss. I mean, you can get a great host, and for some reason, nobody's really hot that week. Nobody's got anything really happening in their creative brains. But, I mean, sometimes you get some real magic, and I would imagine he'll bring some great things to the table, too.
You know, Bill Murray.
Oh, yeah, God. That's right. I forgot Bill Murray was on SNL. Yeah, with a barbershop quartet with Rizzo and Ross.
Waller and Ross.
Yeah, they were great. I mean, they can do no wrong.
No, not now.
Those guys can show up anywhere and do anything, and people are going to love it. And Bill Murray, more or less, too. The crowd really gave him a nice...
Did somebody else show up, too? Who am I forgetting? There was somebody else big that popped at their head in there. I was like, oh, my God, that person showed up.
On SNL this week?
Yeah. I'll look it up.
Other than Alec Baldwin, let's see. I got to get this. I started going through it today, The Tao of Bill Murray, this book I picked up a couple months ago. And I just was kind of sitting on it like, I know one of these days we're going to want to get into this book a little bit. Because it's so full of stories of Bill Murray just being Bill Murray all over the world. And did I bring it down?
Joe, were you thinking of The Church Lady? By chance?
Oh, yeah.
Was it the
Dana
Church
Carvey.
Oh, Dana Carvey. Yeah, yeah. That's who it was.
Yep. And it was fucking hilarious.
Yep.
God, I love Church Lady. That is such a great character.
Solange.
Do we have it, Jay?
Yeah, you see, Solange was the music I thought yes. about you, Drew. I don't know why.
Solange.
God, she was terrible.
I know. I mean, she
you
was.
Know, like, you can say, oh, at least she's got a catchy tune, but that song was brutal.
Horrible. Absolutely horrible.
Church in San Diego has warned parishioners that they will go to hell if they vote for Democrats. Here to comment on the state of the election is Church Lady.
What a transformation. And the outfit is just so awesome.
Hello, Colin. Thank you for having me on your little midnight shindig.
I can't think of a character that seems more real than Church Lady. Doesn't it just seem like she's... She?
Not quite the path of Jesus, is it?
Well, I think that Jesus appreciates a good joke, doesn't he?
Jesus loves a good joke. So that would leave you out of the all equation, right. Wouldn't it?
I thought we had some fun jokes, you know? They're all right.
Well, isn't that special?
So what are your thoughts about this election?
Well, it's a tough choice we have on Tuesday, don't we, Colin? Do we vote for a bitter female android from the 90s or a riverboat gambler with a big tummy and an orange head?
So you've not chosen a candidate yet?
Jesus is not on the ballot, Colin. I suppose he's not part of your life either, is he? Because like everyone else in Hollywood, you're a homosexual.
Why are you laughing? I'm actually not gay.
You do good, dear Joe. Colin, really, seriously, yeah. That is so funny. Just
yeah,
stay
you.
There. Stay in the cupboard, mister. Good idea.
Okay.
Colin, by my count, there are only three celebrities left who aren't homosexuals. Jim Parsons, Neil Patrick Harris, and the wonderful Nathan Lane.
Actually, all of them are gay. Yeah, that's...
Oh.
Why don't we just...
Newsflash.
Yeah, why don't we just focus on the election? Can we stay
on
the election?
Yeah, let's just stay real micromanaged right now. Yes. Focus right, the just, election.
Okay.
Tuesday. Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Who are you going to support, Colin?
Me?
I suppose you're going to write in your favorite candidate, Satan! Surprised you at the time.
I
just jumped that Satan.
Yeah.
Don't make me do it again.
I'm not voting for Satan.
Oh, well. You know, you're just a late night comic with a belly full of booze and a dressing room full of whores. You're drunk right now, aren't you, Colin?
No, I'm not
yes,
drunk.
Yes, you are.
Maybe a little buzzed.
Mm-hmm. Smoking the pot now, are
no.
we? sucking on the devil's cigarette. That must be why you're not the crispiest chip in the bag.
Look, is there anything out there right now that you do like?
Westworld.
I love that show. I'm surprised you like it.
What's not to like, Colin? A land of naked cowboy robots fornicating. They should have called it West Hollywood. Too soon?
It just seems like everything in the world you think is just in such a bad state.
You know what? You know what? I never lose hope, Colin. Now, what a lovely little country we have here. Sometimes I look around and I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
Oh, no. You're not going to sing, are you?
I see skies of blue, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself,
these grisly pictures are showing. Wiener doing a selfie, nude.
Yes, I
Putin with his shirt off.
To myself, what a wonderful world.
Church lady,
Corinthians 14. Yeah, Corinthians 14. Thank you.
Oh, man, I missed Danny Carvey.
Yeah.
Just heard him on Howard Stern this week. He was on for a long time. Great interview. Funny. Man, he's funny. It was weird, though. It seems like since Saturday Night Live, you just don't see Danny Carvey.
Yeah. I was just going to say, what's he up to?
And, you know, he admitted that was sort of the peak. That show was perfect for his talents, but you just can't stay forever because you kind of reach this point where there's so much pressure on you to... You know, isn't it time for you to leave? Isn't it time for your movie career? And he tried the movie career. People were throwing money at him. Mm-hmm. And he picked the wrong movies. And then he had the heart surgery. Remember that? Nope. And they stinted the wrong artery.
Dana Carvey?
Yeah, Dana Carvey.
Wow, I didn't know.
Shit.
Yeah, it would be like, you know, taking off the wrong leg and amputation surgery. Yeah. And so he was... I forgot what he sued for, but he won like millions, like 20 million. I think he gave it all away, though.
Wow.
Gave it all to charity because he was doing pretty well for himself. I think for stand-up, he makes like 100 grand a night or something like that. They were talking about money a lot, which Howard seems to do. I think Howard wants to know that no one's making more money than him. So he's always digging in. I wouldn't pay you for that. Which, you know, I love hearing people tell me what they're getting paid to do stuff like these people do because you never really know. But yeah, he does a lot of stand-up. But I don't even think of him coming around here ever. Have you heard of Dana Carvey coming around here? Because I'd go to see him.
I totally would too, yeah, but don't know where he's
strange. God, he's great though.
Yes.
Also, let's see what's happened since we last... Janet Reno died.
Yep.
And Janet Reno, it's so funny that we're talking about Saturday Night Live because I just think of Will Ferrell as Janet Reno. Every time I think of Janet Reno, you know, the Janet Reno dance party and stuff like that. It's probably on there somewhere. God, he was a great Janet Reno. That was just so damn funny.
It's like he plays Vegas quite a bit.
Oh, Carvey does?
Yeah.
Okay.
The Foundry. I don't know if he
the
has
Foundry.
A Foundry or what, but John Lovitz and Dana Carvey reunited, it's called.
That's really interesting because you never see John Lovitz anywhere either. He's hiding out in Vegas with Dana Carvey.
There you go.
That's very strange. That's Will Ferrell, isn't it, doing Dana Carvey?
Yeah, yeah. with Janet
or doing
right over there.
Janet Reno, yeah. With the real Janet Reno.
You can just tell that audio is going to suck, though.
Yeah, it's not the best picture.
No, but yeah, those are some good shows.
And someone put a bag of air from the Cubs World Series win on eBay, and people are bidding on it. A bag of air. Somebody was apparently on the field in Cleveland after the game and got a bag of air from Game 7. It's bidding at $11 right now.
Who's the person that go, I'll go up a dollar and go 11?
You know, it just seems, can't you put anything online and somebody will bid something for it? Doesn't seem that way. That parade, by the way, which we haven't met since the parade, have we?
No.
It was, Friday, that's right. They had 5 million at that parade, which Chicago is, I think the population is 6 million.
Yeah, and there was a stat, too, on... Game 7 was, what was it? It was one of the stories you printed off earlier, the stats of, like, most watched.
Yeah, the last hour was, I know, set some kind of record. I mean, the most watched in a long, long time for World Series baseball, for sure. And the series was one of the most watched in quite a while. And
it says Chicago's population, obviously this is proper, in 2013 was only 2.719 million.
Yeah, but the surrounding...
Yeah, metro.
It's, yeah, the metro. I think it's about
Chicago,
6 million.
What's that called? Chicagoland?
Yeah, Cook County, maybe. Yeah.
9.73 in Chicago metropolitan. So, yeah, you got to...
Okay. Yeah, 9 million might be more accurate, really, for the... you know, for like radio and TV measurements, they probably use a number like that. Eddie Harsh died, too. You know who Eddie Harsh is? He played keyboards for the Black Crowes. He spent a lot of time in Detroit. In fact, he was in a couple bands here, I think. 59 years old. I didn't see any cause of death. But he was a nice guy. I know he listened to Riff a lot back in the day. We used to hear about Eddie here and there. And never got the pleasure of talking to him. But he's on those early Black Crowes records, which are so good. And I know there's a lot of high praise for him. I was reading about him in Rolling Stone. And they were talking about his many years in Detroit, too. And I think he was born in Canada, but he did spend a lot of time here. So he will be missed, I'm sure, by many locally. And what else? Well, tomorrow, I guess we'll get together during the election. You won't be listening during the election, but you'll hear us probably, hopefully, as the final results, or somebody's getting close to 270. Mm-hmm. What's that, Jay?
Oh, that's the boutique we still can call maybe tomorrow if you want.
Oh, the Farrah boutique?
Yeah.
Oh, Farrah's daughter's boutique, her 7-year-old's boutique.
7-year-old. They're open until 8:30 out there in Texas. So
yeah, if we hit a lull at all tomorrow, you know, because you're waiting for those final state tallies to come in, and sometimes they get a little draggy. So yeah, we'll ring them up tomorrow if we have to.
Yeah, because you said if not that, the Weather Channel's got like some melodic programming you can watch to get away from all the election campaign.
People go to the Weather Channel to get away.
Get away from the election coverage. They said they're going to show nothing but nonstop, like melodic. You know,
that's the kind of funny thing about that is that, you know, as if HBO is not operating. Exactly. You know, as if there's no escapes anywhere on the dial. You know, I pulled some tabloid stuff out. Just let me see a couple things. Where are my Bloids? God, there's a horrifying picture of Tara Reid, who is too skinny. She's like the first person that's not too fat. Yeah, if you're not the right weight in Hollywood, God help you.
Scale crushing fridge.
Yeah, she's not crushing any scales, let me tell you. She might get crushed by a scale if one ever landed on her.
I remember her like horrible tit job.
Oh, yeah, what a mess.
On that carpet.
That was so funny. You know, I was never sure whether I believed that really happened. Do you think it was really an accident?
Oh, I don't think it was an accident, but I don't think it... If she was playing for attention, it didn't seem like she got the right attention when they saw what she was throwing out there.
Yeah, because it wasn't... Yeah, it was like still healing and look. Yeah, that was fucked up. Yeah, actually, that does... Now that I think about it...
Franken tit.
That was a messy boob, and I don't think that was an accident. I mean, I don't think she did it on purpose. Because why would you do that? You know, we'll save the Bloids for tomorrow. We'll need some escape material anyway, so I can't find it. What the fuck? All right. Well, like I said, we're a little shorthanded for a couple days here, but hopefully we'll be back at full strength later this week. Maz is, his mother, you know, fell and broke her hip, and he said his father's really, he's almost as worried about his father. His father's so upset. So he went to Jersey for a couple days. And Mark is also busy with a project for a few days, but we'll stay with it.
What's going on with Maz's league? You said you guys aren't getting together until after Thanksgiving. Is that right, Joey?
As far as his league goes, since he left, I haven't had a chance to talk to see how that first night went.
Oh, the bowling league?
Yeah. It's kicked off, though. The Maz extravaganza is kicking in. Plus, he's got those every other Tuesday of the month or whatever, twice a month. Mm-hmm.
So we'll bar gigs?
Yeah, we'll have to check out those. You know?
Meet and mingle.
Oh, yeah. No, that really sounded funny. It's clear that Maz is busy finding stuff to do, and he will not be stopped.
No, he won't.
He is one of those guys that will always have stuff to do.
Speaking of mingling, how did the chili cook-off this weekend.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know, yeah. We didn't talk about that. Because everybody, we all made it out there.
Yep.
And I saw a bunch of people from the podcast, too. And then I read about people that were there that I didn't get to see, which was a bummer. But I know you guys were there. And, I mean, we had phenomenal support from the podcast. And Charlie even said something about it, which is great. I mean, it's just nice to know that we can promote a great cause like that and get turnout, you know, from this little stupid basement podcast. Damn it. We have power. We can help. And I don't know how much money they raised, but I know it was really good.
There was a lot of people there.
There were a ton of people there. There was a line the whole time I was there. There was constantly a line.
Yep.
And when I left, there was a line. And people were drinking, and people were eating, and people were donating. So it was phenomenal. And I have a feeling they made their money and got that stuff paid for.
We got there at the start of it, and at the end of it, we checked back in. About 3 o'clock, and
it
started getting close to about 3:30. Charlie was on stage singing with the band.
Yeah, he was. Oh, no way!
I saw Heel Perkins,
but he pulled Heel Perkins up there with him as well.
He did. Yeah. Oh my God, he must have been hammered. What was he singing?
Oh God, I'm trying to remember.
Was it a blues song or was it a pop song?
Motown song.
Motown bluesy type music they were playing down there. Really,
you know, that son of a bitch likes to sing. Yeah. He does. Because I never knew he sang until he did that thing at the blues bar.
Yep.
Who, Charlie or Huel?
Charlie.
Okay.
I mean, Huel, I would think Huel was dragged up there, although who knows, maybe Huel can sing.
Oh, Huel did great.
Oh, actually. Did he?
But, you know, like Charlie dragged him up there. Huel was resisting at first, but he jumped right up and he started singing. He sounded great.
No. Okay.
Yeah.
God, that's funny as hell. I'm dying to know what song it was.
There was a picture online, I think. We'll have to look at it. Might have been a video, too.
Langdon was there too in the crowd.
Oh, he stage. Charlie Langdon,
yeah,
really?
He was up there in the crowd, close by the stage.
Oh, that's funny.
So they had a lot of people there.
See if you can find that, Joe.
It's on LaDuff's Facebook page.
Yeah, Charlie. You know, Charlie's pieces are not only are they special because Charlie does his homework and busts some people that just plain deserve it and aren't expecting it. But his guys are really good. I mean, those things are so well shot, and they're so well edited. And, you know, everything down to the piece of music they use, all that stuff. They really spend a lot of time on it, and it works.
They do a great job.
Well, there we go. Shout's a perfect song.
They said there's another song that Huel did just by himself up there. Charlie was off the stage.
That's with Huel. It's a good choice, though. You can't fuck up Shout.
No.
Look at Huel, man. Huel looks so cool.
He does.
He's just wearing blue jeans, but he looks so damn cool. Charlie is incredibly fired up. Way too fired up. I wish you could see Charlie. Well, you can see Charlie on the celebrity page on Facebook, right?
Yeah, we'll throw this up there.
He's just boogieing up a storm. Oh, man. He is one of a kind. It's tough to film one of these things, too, because, you know, the band's not mic'd exactly the way you want to mic. The drum is so loud. Oh, man.
Thank you all so very much. Good night.
And the Charliettes. He's a heel, man. He's cool. Why can't I be that cool? What do I have to do? How can I do it? How can I come across as cool as you will? It just ain't going to happen. All right, we'll see you on Election Day. So have a good one, everybody. Go out and vote. And don't get pissed at people. They don't agree with you. Just let them vote for their let them vote for their stupid candidate. And you vote for your stupid candidate and forget about it. Don't get all pissed about it. I can't. This has been a terrible, terrible election. And it's gotten so personal, and that really sucks. I hate that part of it. So hopefully we get this goddamn thing over with and get back to real life. So there. We'll see you tomorrow.